There's something about declaring the word of God out loud. When you say things out loud, when you speak them, there are times that I know God has me internally whisper these things, but there are times that he wants me to declare them out loud. And I'd like for you to declare this out loud with me today. It's been our overarching text for the series we started last week, and I just love saying it. Come hell or high water, God's word is the truth, and he does not change. I'm holding to his word, come hell or high water. I'm holding to his word. Holding to his word. So I want you to declare this out loud if you don't have a Bible with you. And I want you to say this with me. Would you join me? Let's declare it out loud. You at home? Come on, say it with us. Here we go. Ready? And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. And that corruption literally means that things are rotting and decaying in this world. Everything is. He says we escape this because of his glory and his excellence. You know, I want to read this again for a second. I just feel like I'm supposed to read this again. But I want you to drop the word us, and I want you to say me. Where it says you, I want you to say me. This is not a scripture for everybody else. This is for you. Even if you don't love Jesus, even if you're here today and you're an atheist and a God denier, would you at least do this and say it with me? Because it is his promise to you when you believe. So let's do it again. Ready? Come on. Here, one more time. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given me great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Dads, I got something special for you in this message, so I just want you to hang on, okay? And men, it's for you. It's for everybody. But I want you to look at your neighbor and says, he's got a promise for Papa. Would you tell him that, amen? He's got a promise for Papa, okay? You can be seated in the house of God. So when I was preaching this, when I was teaching this message, I'm going to keep going in it, and it's here. We're just going to keep digging and digging and digging. But this morning, I want to take you to Psalm 128, because even in this, we have promises that God has, and in this one, we know that promises can transcend just a particular person, therefore the body of Christ, but he also speaks specifically to things, and I'd like for the dads, the men, to listen in particular to what I'm telling you today. In particular, I want you to listen, because it switches and it points to husbands, men who want to be husbands. And I want to speak life into you men today. You don't need to be beat up today to how you need to do better. You need to know that God has given you all power. The scripture says he's given you all power for godly living, for what life throws at you and for godly living. He's given you power to become the man he knows you are to be. So just remember that. Enough guys get beat up in this world. In fact, I get tired of these trashing men jokes sometimes. I know we all like to laugh and have a ha-ha, but I'm telling you what, the world just keeps berating men and women, and I'm sick of it. They're not even sure if they want to call you a man or a woman anymore. I'm serious. It's to slam your identity of who God made you to be. You are a man of God. Amen. You are a woman of God. And I'm here to declare it over you today because God declares it over you today. So let's go to Psalm 128, and I'm going to try to unpack this so you guys can get to your barbecue and grill. It says, how joyful. This doesn't mean we don't have pain or problems, but it says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, who respect him, who follow him, honor him, who respect him, all who follow his way. So now it's all inclusive. This is talking about every lady in this room, every married person, every single person. This is talking to every man and woman. It's all inclusive. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. All means all of us. Then watch this, it switches. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. He's talking to us. This is what he's saying to us. And then it switches. And now he's talking to a particular group of people, men. He said, your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olives as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. How many want to say, that's my promise and I take it? I take it. So I'm looking at these promises. Well, how do I receive that promise when he says the Lord blesses those who fear him? How do I receive that? I want to give you just three fast things real quick. The first thing you want to know is if you want God's blessing, you want his prosperity in your life, then you need to follow God's plan. God has a plan for men and as well, ladies. He's got a plan specifically. And I want to just talk to you for a second. Now, I read out of Psalm 128. When you read a scripture, you need to put it in the context of what God is speaking to, how he's speaking. So you can't ask for Psalm 128 to happen in your life as a man or a woman and not add Psalm 127. Psalm 127 and 128 were a two-part exposition on the family, speaking to both men and women about the blessing of God. So if you want it, read it in its context and go to Psalm 127. So Psalm 120 says, you want to know, how do I receive this? Here's the deal. You got to follow God's plan. You got to follow it. And look what it says in Psalm 128. Remember this, so circle it. It says, how joyful are those who fear? Circle that word. Everybody say fear. That's not afraid. That means awe, respect, honor, so much that I defer to it. Fear the Lord and all who do what? Follow. You just don't respect it. You do it. You follow what God says. Now, you want to take Psalm 128. You said, okay, that's the plan. You also connect it to Psalm 127, verse 1. You got to connect those two. They're together. In fact, they're connected with a lot of passages, and I'll show you here in just a moment. What does Psalm 127, 1 says? Watch this. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builder is wasted. I know a lot of men and women that are wasting their time building the wrong way. How do I build? The only way Sam Reifkel is going to have success is if I respect God and I respond with obedience to him. Because he says, Sam, anything you build in your own strength is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to fall apart. It will not survive. It just won't. You'll exist and even do that at best. So what does that mean? It means let God, let his word, let the power and the leading of his Holy Spirit be the architect of your home. It's never too late. I don't care if you're a grandpa already. It's never too late to say, God, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to listen to your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to follow your word. I'm ready to be your example. Because if you're going to try to build, say, well, I just need to build my financial portfolio, get my kids in Ivy League colleges, and then that'll make me a good dad. Wrong. That's nice, but wrong. He says, except the Lord builds your house, everything you do is a heap of dung. Follow me and watch the blessings of a God come. Because if you're going to try to build a home without Jesus Christ, it's like trying to build a sandcastle in a hurricane. And you can pile all the good things. You can put your kids in designer clothes. You can make sure you got the right minivan. You can make sure you got the Range Rover. You can make sure you're in the right neighborhood. You got to make sure all the flowers are there. You got to make sure you got the right kind of dog. And that's all cool and great. But that does not build your home. Because anytime trouble comes, it's going to crush, it's going to collapse. Any temptation, it's going to crush and collapse. But those who build their house upon the rock, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Can somebody give God praise that Satan himself cannot destroy what I have? You got to follow God's plan. So now let's put this in the whole context, Psalm 127, 128. If you'll study the scripture, you'll find that these two psalms, now you got to study this. It's a part of a group of psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. It's 15 psalms that were called the psalms or the songs of ascent. It was the songs of ascent. So remember the context of where God places this word. There were 15 psalms or songs that the people would sing, and it was a pilgrimage that they made to Jerusalem, the people of God, because they wanted honor and they wanted his presence more than anything. And these songs were sung during the festival seasons, like the Passover, when the death angel passed over, when the blood was applied. Just like when we say the blood of Jesus is applied so that the death angel passes over and we have eternal life. It was part of the Psalms of the song they sung at the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacle, which wasn't about a building. It was more about the presence of God. And they would make this steep climb from Jericho, which was 1,200 feet below sea level, and they would go up to Jerusalem, which was 2,400 feet above above sea level, and they would make this, and they would traverse this arduous path going up, and they would sing these 15 psalms or repeat them, and it was a family event, not just an individual, it was a family event. And what they were going to was to a city, and some people can just have religious, you know, things around it, but what they were wanting was God said, I want you to come to the temple, which really symbolized, I want to be with you, the presence of God. The presence of God. And can I tell you something, friends, for me? The greatest thing that I can do is to lead my wife and my children into the presence of God. Because everything else will fail. Money will fail. The homes will fail that we build. The education that we've worked hard, they're all good things, but all those things are fragile. Every bit of it. Your body will fail. There are things in life that just fail. Sometimes people will fail. And he says, there's one thing that will never, ever fail. Get into the presence of God. They would sing those songs to get in the presence of God. Not just into the presence of God, but the greatest thing you can do as a dad, even as a mom, is to get your kids in the presence of God and get them into the eternal home with Jesus Christ. Everything I do, everything I live for, is for one thing, to get my family and people in the presence of God and get them into the eternal home, because eternity is forever and it never stops. So, some of you may say, well, I don't have children, and this counts me out. No. You may not have children biologically, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be the example to help lead people, your family, your siblings, your nieces, your nephews, the people that you work with in that break room, your friends, to show them and get them into the presence of God so that they know that he never fails and that they have eternal home. That is God's plan, is that you fear him, you follow him, and you stay in his presence. If anybody believes that, say a big oh me and an amen. Here's the second thing God's promise. God says, follow my plan. But then God says to men, and I want to talk to dads for a minute. I want to talk to husbands. I want to talk to young men who want to be husbands. He says, what I want to do is I have a promise for your wife. So girls, you ready to be blessed? All two of you, amen. Girls, are you ready to be blessed? Yes. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He says, your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Brother, I want that to happen. I want Brenda to flourish. I want her to feel fruitful in every arena of her life. But there's a promise that is always a contingency that there's something that I'm responsible to do. And if I could lead you to one scripture that points at so much the Word of God, that there's a promise that God blesses my wife, is 1 Peter 3:7. And you read the whole context of it, but I want to direct it to men just for a moment. He said, in the same way, he says, you husbands, give honor to your wives. Just like Christ honored the Father. He says, you follow the example of Jesus. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Now that word understanding, guys, can I help you with this? It means, if I could put it the best way, in acquired knowledge. Brent and I have been married 31 years, and I can promise you I am still acquiring knowledge about her. She's still acquiring knowledge about me. You would think we had this thing together, but we're still acquiring knowledge. Still today. Let me tell you the reason why. Because Brenda has changed and I have changed. Somehow, some of you think that she's still going to be a size 4 for you. That there's not a wrinkle in her face. And she just still thinks you're rico suave. You still think, ma'am, that he's still that guy that can bench press 275, got ripped abs. Back in your day, he was a chick magnet, and all today he is now is a refrigerator magnet, and I get that, I understand that. He's gotten furniture's disease. His chest has fallen into his drawers. And you think, why isn't he the same way? And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's changed physically. You've changed physically. There can be chemical imbalances that occur that you never signed up for. There may be things occurring with children. There may be things that are occurring physically, even emotionally, even mentally, that you did not sign up for when you married her. And it says it's an acquired knowledge, because here's the bottom line. He is going to change, and so are you. And nobody wants to tell you that. They want you to keep looking at that invitation for your wedding where he was Prince Charming.